I really like that spoken word video. It's a reminder that our faith is not just a hope so, but it's based on something very, very real. And you know, this Easter is different. It's unique in some ways of our not being able to meet in person in the same building. Of course, that has an impact, but what we celebrate at Easter has not been diminished at all. In fact, the reality of it really stands out in a way that is unique, in a way I think that is going to capture a lot of people's attention. We see examples today of great sacrifice. We have health workers, first responders, essential service providers that are risking their own health in order to care for and to comfort others that are in serious danger. They accept this danger. They live with the constant awareness they could also get ill. They live in isolation from their family and loved ones. There's an anxiety they carry, and they do it tirelessly for my sake and yours. Dealing with a pandemic like we have has captured the world's attention in a way that is very, very unusual too. Nothing like this has happened in my lifetime. It's a deadly virus that attacks all people of all walks, from Hollywood stars to people that are homeless, from the prisoners to prime ministers, from the wealthy to the poverty-stricken. The pandemic has created an awareness that we are all fragile people and we live in a very, very broken world. And we're facing this reality together in a way that is, I think it has surprised many. But it is something that we have in common. When we walk through our neighborhood, Becky and I will see people that, and we see a lot more people walking in our neighborhood than we have ever. And people will be friendly, people will wave, people will say hi. Some are fearful. Some want to keep their distance, of course. The physical distancing is important, but there's something about this that we all have in common that is really, it's really captured attention. There's some questions that come too. Why did this happen? How did it happen? Who's to blame? And there are all kind of theories and people are throwing around all kind of big ideas. The truth is we don't really have all the answers for that right now. People also go to start questioning God. You know, they blame God. Some will say this is evidence there isn't a God, and so why even think about him? Others will say things, well, if your God's so good, why would he allow this kind of thing to happen? Or if he's good, is he just powerless? Is he unable to do anything about it? Is he just an old grandfather in a rocking chair in the sky? Or is he really just a figment of our imagination? The good news, and what I am so grateful for, is that followers of Jesus, we have something to really bank on. We have a hope that we can rely on. And it's not a hope so. It's not a, gee, I hope it all works out, or I'm sure there'll be some kind of silver lining. It's some facts that we understand that make sense of all that is happening around us and give us this confidence. And it gives us something to celebrate this Easter that is something we want to shout from the rooftops. Let me tell you about this hope we have. And we see this in Hebrews 6:19. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It's not a hope so. It's not, gee, I hope something like a fairy tale. It's a hope that is based in reality. I want to try to illustrate this with you. Now, I am my own tech team today, so please forgive me if my drawing doesn't work real well, but it'll make sense. I think you'll understand it. Let me show you first. This circle represents the world we live in. And the world we live in is really, really broken and messed up. We see evidence of this all the time. We see natural evil and natural brokenness, from tornadoes and earthquakes that destroy so many homes and cities and lives, all the way to this coronavirus. We don't know exactly how it happened, don't know that it's man-made, or don't know how much maybe we've played into it, but we know that viruses and bacteria, things that are deadly, I mean, we live in a world where there is this kind of natural brokenness. There's a lot of other stuff, though, a lot of human-caused brokenness and evil. there's dishonesty, there's lying, there's hatred, there's injustice, there's brutality, there's people fighting for power. And we even see that during this coronavirus. We see where people have been price gouging and trying to take advantage of others in the midst of all this. We see people cheating financially. So we, in the midst of all this brokenness, we do see some evidences of good. We see people being kind to each other. We see sacrifice in the midst of it. Some of us here in Northern Virginia, we've seen springtime come. And it's odd to think that here we are fighting this horrible virus, but yet there's spring and flowers and all this going on around us. It's an odd mixture. And the Bible helps us explain this. Why do we see beauty within the brokenness? And it goes back to how God created the world. In Genesis 1, it says, "Then God looked over all he made, and he saw that it was very good." In the beginning, God created the world, and it was good. It wasn't bad. There wasn't the evil to it. He designed it with everything that you and I could ever need. But he also created human beings. He created us in his image. And being in his image, that meant that we had possibilities. We could either choose to love God or we could do something entirely different. And that's from the first humans on, that's what we did. The Bible tells us in Romans 3, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." And so to explain why this good world that God created has become broken, we need to understand this, and that is sin. God created us with the capacity to love him. Boy, my writing is horrible, isn't it? To love him, to follow him. But within that capacity came the choice that we could make to not do that. Love always requires there to be a choice. I hear parents all the time saying, "I can't wait to have a child. I have a child that I can love and they'll love me." Well, they may or may not. You can't guarantee that. You can't make a free agent decide what they're going to do. God created us. He wanted there to be this love relationship between us and him. But the problem is from the first human beings on, we wanted to do things our way. In fact, the definition of sin in the Bible is to do things our own way, to go our own way. And the impact of that is that we live in a broken world. We're broken people, and we have a broken world, and it's not working. And we all try to find ways to deal with the brokenness. We look for all kind of things. Some of us will deny it. Oh, the world's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's some religious groups that will say that any ugliness or moral evil and all that is just a figment of your imagination. Some of us will try to do it by our career, finding power, finding a way to have control over our environment and the people around us. Some of us do it through relationships. If I can just find that right person or that right group, I'll finally be whole. I'll be okay. I'll be taken care of. We pursue things, material things. And then others, we look for some way just to check out. For me, this is how I operated. Before I was a follower of Christ, I spent most of my time drugging and drinking. It was the way I coped with my own stuff that I didn't want to look at. It's the way I coped with a life that was pretty miserable in a lot of ways. And I just wanted to check out. And so for me, and it wasn't just the big parties, I would drink and drug by myself. It was a way for me just to deny what was going on, to avoid it, to ignore it. Now, I always would, when I'd sober up or get out of my drug high, I had to deal with it. In fact, I'd have to deal with things even worse then. It was kind of like these arrows are like a bungee cord. You can go out, but then they snap right back in into the brokenness and the reality of it. We have had a couple of cases where we've been Zoom bombed, where people have found out we had open meetings and they come into attack with doing some just gross, horrible things. I would have been one of those. My track record was not just the drugging and drinking, but I did a lot of destruction. I broke into homes and cars. I there's just a lot of things I did. And to explain it, you'd have to look back and look at how I was trying to cope with a broken world and me being a broken person. My relationships with others were screwed up, especially with my dad. I had resentment, I had anger, I had bitterness. And so I found ways to deal with it that made me feel good about myself for a while. I was the tough guy. I was the cool guy. I was the guy that did all these things to get attention. But at the end of the day, I was still stuck with me. And it's kind of a hopeless place to be. And it's okay to admit hopelessness. In fact, that's kind of the beginning of understanding where we can find real hope. When we run out of our plans working, when we see that it's not happening and we're not getting better. This may explain why people, they have to increase the amount of things they do. That's why something that satisfies me today doesn't satisfy me tomorrow. This is the reality of the world we're lived in. And see, we were created by God. We were created by a good God to have a great relationship with Him. But when we chose to go our own way to sin, and when we got into this brokenness, it was a mess. And we've made it worse and worse. If that were the whole story, we're in terrible shape. But there's so much more to it. I want to read to you the rest of that verse that I read. I'm going to try to get this S to work. Oh, there it is. When I read this about all of us have sinned, I want to read the rest of that verse. Listen, it says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous." How in the world does that happen? We're broken. We're messed up. We have messed up this world. But He declares that we're righteous. Goes on to say, "He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood." So here's where Good Friday and Easter answer the question. God saw the situation we were in. And rather than turning His back, rather than just saying, "To heck with it, I'm going to write this one off. I'm going to wipe out the universe and I'll start again maybe." Instead of that, out of His love and His care and His compassion for us, He sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. It's maybe an odd illustration, but one of Becky and I's favorite movies is the movie Taken. It's a Liam Neeson movie. It's an action movie. It didn't win any Oscars or anything. But it's the story of a father who discovers that his daughter has been taken captive. And he does everything he can, risking his life and his health, everything, to rescue her. Near the end of the movie, and it's over the top action and all this kind of stuff, but near the end of the movie, he has finally gotten rid of all the bad guys. They've been dispatched. And he's standing there and he's looking at his daughter. And she looks at him and she says, "You came for me." And his response was, "I told you I would." This is exactly what God did for you and me. We needed what only He could do. Just like Liam Neeson's daughter in that movie, she had absolutely nothing she could do for herself. She was powerless. God saw that we were in that same situation. And so He sent Jesus. And that explains why Jesus went to the cross. He carried our sin on Himself. He paid the penalty for our sin. He made sure that justice was served at His expense. And we've been given a brand new opportunity to live. There is nothing like this in all of the world, nothing in world history, where the one who has been offended goes after those that offended Him. He paid the price for us, and He did it with love. He did it with care and at a high, high price. We've been offered a way out of our brokenness. And the way that happens, and it's simply this, and it sounds too simple to be true, is that we can come out of our brokenness and have this new life Jesus offers just by trusting him and following him. That's all it is. He doesn't want promises that I'm going to do better. He doesn't want me to start doing certain things, giving more, serving more, and all that, and kind of earn my way. If we could earn our way, God wouldn't have sent Jesus to the cross. He would have sent us a bunch of TED Talks on how to do self-improvement. That was not possible. All he asks is if you'll admit where you are, believe that I sent my son to pay the penalty for your sin so you could have a brand new life. If you will trust me and follow me, I will give you this brand new life. Listen to what the Bible says. This is so cool. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. The idea here is this. When I accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord, I admit that I'm broken. I admit that I need help. I believe that he came and gave his life for me. And then I choose to follow him. I'm going to trust and I'm going to follow. The Bible says that when that happens, that I will be restored. I'll be restored to what God originally wanted me to be. Perfectly in this life? No. But changing from the brokenness to being more into what God intended, this good life he had? Absolutely. That's the amazing thing about faith in Christ. For me, when I accepted Christ, I was really surprised. I had never heard this message before. And when I decided to take God up on it, I thought, well, if it's true, we'll give it a shot. And a few things happened almost immediately. The first couple of things is that my drugging and drinking, my desire for that pretty much vanished because I wasn't having to hide from anything anymore. I know that's not true for everyone, but for me, there was this freedom. I realized that God had accepted me as I was, and he was taking me as I was, but he wanted me to become someone brand new. He wanted me to my old life to be gone, and he was giving me a new life. And so my reasons for drugging and drinking were gone. I almost immediately stopped a lot of things, my destructive behavior and all that. Now, the character issues, that took some work. Being a truth teller, forgiving others. And one of the big relationships for me that I'm so grateful for is my relationship with my dad began to change. My dad and I never liked each other, but we both felt like the other was really not a good gift. I'm sure he wished he had had a better son, and I know I wished I'd had a better dad. I stopped fighting with him, though. I stopped blaming him for things, and I began trying to honor my Heavenly Father by being the best son I could be. And over time, my dad and I became very, very good friends. We were stuck with each other biologically, father and son, but now we had become friends. We used to, we just got to where we spent time together. We talk about things like a healthy father-son relationship would be. And I know I started some businesses. Dad was really proud of me. He offered me help because Dad was a good businessman. There were just so many things that we got to share together. Later on, something else happened. We went from being father and son biologically to being friends. My dad accepted Christ too. He recognized that he was broken. He had issues in his life and he had blamed others. He had come up with all kinds of excuses, but he finally came to a point of admitting that it was his fault, that he was the broken one. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Just simply, he admitted his own sin. He believed that God sent Jesus for him, and he chose to trust and follow. And for the last 14 years of my dad's life, he and I became more than friends. We were brothers. We'd gone from father and son to friends, to now brothers in Christ. And this is my first Easter without my dad, but I know where he is. And I know that he is with his Savior and his Lord. And there is nothing about that that is just, gee, I hope so. It is a hope rooted in truth that God sent his Son to take our place, to pay the penalty for our sin. He was crucified. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He conquered death. And when Jesus rose from the grave, which is a historical fact that is so well attested, no one really in their right mind can deny it unless they want to deny all other kind of history that no one questions. Jesus really did rise from the dead. That's what we're celebrating here this Easter, is that he made good on every one of his promises. And because of his resurrection, I can know that I have my sin forgiven when I accept him. I have this brand new life that God wants me to have. And he not only is restoring me, but he's also given me the opportunity to tell others. I get to show them, and I can tell them about my life. And it's a privilege. It's not bragging about, gee, look at me. It's look what God can do to a broken life that is surrendered to him. I could tell you this, and I could tell you all kinds of stories of my life, but what I'd like to do is let you see the stories of many others. Over the years at New Hope, we've had hundreds of people that have come and had their lives dramatically changed because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. They have this new hope living within them. And I want you to watch this together. This is a series. This is quite a few of our families that are doing what we call a silent testimony. And I want you to watch as they quietly tell their story. See if there's not some people here you can identify with where they were and see where they are now. And it may be that God is saying, look what I'm offering you to. Let's watch this together.
Carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see. Run to the Father, a fall into grace.
When I've watched this, I catch myself tearing up because I know the stories behind the placards. These are friends, these are people that I have great respect for. They're heroes and heroines of mine. I've been at New Hope now for 28 years, and it has been a privilege to grow together with my friends, for us to see each other where we were and where we are now, and knowing that we're going to continue to grow and develop as we trust God, as we let Jesus have his way in restoring us. And then the privilege of being able to invite others to join in. So what I'd like to do right now is invite you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, if you've never trusted him to follow him, I want to ask you that you would consider doing it right now. It's a very simple thing. God's done all the work. And he now asks you and me to simply do this. Admit that we are broken, that we're part of the problem. And the problem is within us. It's our sin nature, our wanting to do things our own way. Admit that. Believe that God sent Jesus to take our place because he loves us dearly. And then choose to trust and to follow him. Not making these great promises, I'm going to change and all that. Just, God, I will trust and follow you. And if you will come into my life and help me, I will let you have your way with me. Would you bow with me and let's pray together right now. God, you love us. And this Easter, we've been reminded of just how much you love us. You didn't abandon us. You didn't leave us. You came for us. And so right now, I know there are people watching that want to accept you. And so for them, and then for all of us that have, we're going to affirm this prayer together. God, I admit that I am broken, that it is my sin that is the problem. Too many times I've blamed others. But when I'm honest about it, I know that I am broken, that I have dishonored you and others. And because of that, I need help. I need forgiveness. And I am believing that you sent Jesus Christ to be my Savior, that you sent him to take my place so I could have forgiveness. And right now, I am choosing to accept him and to follow. God, I'm a mess, and I'm going to need a lot of help, but I'm believing that you will accept me as I am. And with your help, I will trust and I will follow. And I ask that you would take me now and help me to learn to grow and to let that hope that we've talked about be the anchor for my soul. I thank you so much that this Easter is a reminder of this great gift you've offered. I thank you in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. If you are doing this for the first time, please let our host know. We would love to help you, love to help you figure out what a next step would be. We come alongside and become family with you. Please just let the host know. They'll get a hold of you, and show you what to do. And for the rest of us, let's just celebrate the rest of this Easter weekend by thanking God for what he's done, sharing with others the joy that we have, and deciding in a new kind of way that we are going to trust and follow and let God rebuild our lives. We're going to finish this service with a couple of songs that remind us of what is true and real and good. And I'm so grateful we got to spend this time together. You guys have a great Easter weekend. I look forward to seeing you next weekend. We're starting a new series on relationships. A lot of our relationships have been strained. We've spent a lot of time together. We're going to work through together how we can make the most of the opportunities we have. Talk to you soon. Happy Easter. Bye-bye.